Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Radio.com, NBA insider Ryan McDonough. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. Get access to data and insights the sportsbooks don't want you to see. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. And so now we jump over to our good friend Ryan McDonough, has been with us before, so I guess I can call him a good friend. He is on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Hi, Ryan. How are you?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. I'm doing great. Appreciate you having me back on.
We love talking to you. First, I just want to ask you about Andre Drummond and the situation the Cavaliers are in with Andre and how this is such a weird spot for them to be in. And then you throw in the fact that, you throw in the fact that contract's sitting at there at the end of the year, what's going to happen. And DeMarcus Cousins today sounds like he's going to be available. So the market for centers seems to be decreasing as far as value. I don't know your thoughts on this whole situation.
Yeah, it's a difficult situation for everybody involved. Andre Drummond makes $28.7 million this year, and he's on an expiring contract, so he'll be an unrestricted free agent this offseason. And as you guys remember, at the trade deadline last year, Cleveland really didn't give up a whole lot to get him. I think it was Brandon Knight, John Henson, and second-round pick or something like that. So it was minimal value for Drummond. That kind of showed his value, or to put it a different way, lack of value around the league. So I think it's going to be tough for the Cavs to get better than that in a trade if they do move him, which seems likely at this point. It seems like Drummond won't finish the year on the Cavs roster either via trade or via a buyout if they're unable to trade him. The challenge, guys, again, when I look at that number with him making close to $30 million is – in season, it's difficult to get in that trade range. You have to stack a bunch of players together for the most part, and there are roster limits. So I know Cleveland would like to move Drummond. I know Drummond and his agent, Jeff Schwartz, would like him to be moved. But I'm having a difficult time coming up with a deal that makes sense where Cleveland gets good value and Drummond gets what he wants. That's to be traded to a contender who has a role for him.
Ryan, does he have more value to a team that is a contender that might need a guy who can bring his skill set to their table, or does he have more value to a team that's looking to unload a contract as an expiring contract?
Yeah, I think he has more value to the contending teams, guys, but what happens is it's a little bit of a game of chicken, where if I'm in the front office of the Brooklyn Nets or the Golden State Warriors, if you consider Golden State a contender at this point, I'm trying to wait and say, look, you know, we like Drummond, but if I'm negotiating with Cleveland, I'm really not willing to give up a whole lot for him because I can think there's a good chance he'll be available on the buyout market. If he's not available on the buyout market, then maybe JaVale McGee is, another Cavaliers center, or Hassan Whiteside's available. As you guys mentioned, DeMarcus Cousins got waived or is about to get waived. So there are a number of centers available. I think Brooklyn has the biggest glaring need of the contending teams. So that's the challenge. Cleveland wants to trade him, but the other 29 teams know that at this point. So I think, you know, they might be bottom fishing to some extent or trying to put together a lowball offer for the Cavs to see if they can get Drummond for not much. And if they don't get him, it's a game of chicken. I think the contending teams wait it out and then see if Drummond is still on the Cavs after the trade deadline, which means he's likely to get bought out. And then the other teams, the contending teams, could just sign him to a rest of the season minimum contract without giving up any value in a trade.
Where do you think we're leaning on this thing? Yeah, sorry. Are we leaning towards a buyout at this point? Because I don't feel any motion going on with this thing.
And would that have more value to the Cavs than letting that contract expire?
Yeah, well, the value at that point is just financial, so it would have more value to Dan Gilbert and the Cavs ownership group than anybody else. I think the other, you know, benefit, guys, if you call it a benefit, is Andre Drummond, who, again, is approaching unrestricted free agency. He's still in his late 20s. He wants to get paid as a free agent. He would not be happy just sitting, you know, on the Cavs bench or even not dressing for games over the last third or so of the season. So that's the value. There's financial benefit of a buyout, and then the just the mood, the spirit. They clear a path for Jared Allen to play without any distractions or without any, you know, confusion there. So I think those are the benefits, but clearly Cleveland would want to trade him and get some value. They'd love to get a first-round pick or a young prospect. I think they'd probably have to settle for maybe a second-round pick. So that'll be what Kobe Altman and his staff are discussing with the other 29 teams around the league over the next month or so, and we'll see if the Cavs are able to strike a deal, because to get anything for Drummond, again, keep in mind what they gave up for him last year, if they get anything, even a second-round pick or something along those lines, that would at least be a wash for what they sent out a year ago and what they get this year at the trade deadline.
Brian, is there a way to
and then ultimately, because of Jared Allen, what they're doing with Drummond?
Well, with Jared Allen, he's a talented young player. I thought he was the Brooklyn Nets' best big man. He's going to be a restricted free agent. He makes $3.9 million this year on the fourth year, the last year of his rookie scale deal. So he'll be in for a significant role. So I like the move. I like the fact that Cleveland got involved in that deal with Brooklyn, Houston, and Indiana when they expanded it into a 14th trade involving James Harden, Victor Oladipo, and others. The Cavs look at him as the starting center of the future. I agree with that assessment. I think he's a talented young prospect. And for Drummond, again, I don't think just looking at the moves and looking at the value they got last year, they were necessarily intending to get Andre Drummond. I just think a year ago they looked at Drummond at a player whose value was down. They could get him for not much and see if he was a long-term fit. He played very well, obviously, to start the year. But then when Allen became available, they found a guy who fit with their timeline better and can grow with their young core, looking in the backcourt with Colin Sexton, Darius Garland, and on the wing with Isaac Okoro. Jared Allen's about the same age as those guys, so he fits their timeline over the next few years.
All right, so, Ryan, if you look at the Cavs right now, they had a good start. Then Larry Nance Jr. got hurt. Kevin Love hasn't played at all. We talked about the Drummond thing like crazier. Is there a way to fix this season? Or if you were running the Cavs right now and you're trying to figure out what's next, I mean, how do you fix this thing right now?
Well, it's going to be difficult, guys. I mean, I was impressed and a little bit surprised when they get off to the hot start. Their defense in particular, as you guys know, was among the top two or three teams in the league through the first few weeks of the season, which really surprised me. Since then, unfortunately, they plummeted. Now they're down to 24th in defensive rating. They're last in the league. They're 30th in offensive rating. So they need to get better on both ends of the court. As you mentioned, Larry Nance is a player who I don't think gets enough attention and credit outside the state of Ohio. He had an excellent year. The injuries really hurt them. Obviously, the fact that Kevin Love, their most talented player, has not played, and their highest paid player has not played this year, has hurt the team as well. So they need to figure out a way to stop the bleeding. I think it's going to be difficult this year given their recent play and given the injuries, and all the questions on the front line, the injuries to Nance and Love, the situation we were just discussing with Drummond. So I think, unfortunately, for fans in Cleveland who were hoping that, you know, this was a team that made the playoffs or pushed maybe in that play-in scenario, 7-10, it looks like they're going back to the lottery again this year where they're currently slotted third. Now, the good news there, guys, is it's a loaded draft. And if you have a top five pick in this year's draft, you should get a very good young player to add to your talented young core.
Ryan McDonough joining us, Radio.com NBA insider and former general manager of the Suns. Ryan, what do you think of the Cavs' backcourt situation? You mentioned it earlier with Garland and Sexton and Okoro. Do you like the combination, and how do you see it playing out?
Yeah, Colin Sexton's made a big leap this year, guys. Obviously, he's one of the top scorers in the league, averaging just about 23 points a game. He's become more efficient. I think he is wired to score. So the best fit next to him, in my opinion, is a playmaker. Darius Garland has shown that he can do that to some extent. And I think that's important for the Cavs to figure out over the last half to two-thirds of the season with the games they have remaining. How well do those guys fit together are they the backcourt of the future? Can be difficult sometimes to make those decisions, especially when you've invested high picks in the guys and lost a lot of games developing them over the past couple of years. That's certainly something we went through in both front offices when I was with the Celtics and then also with the Suns. So Garland and Sexton have played well individually. Sexton in particular has made a leap. I think what the Cavs need overall, guys, is more facilitation, more playmaking. It doesn't necessarily need to come from one of your backcourt players. Other teams do it in different ways. But I think that if I'm J.B. Bickerstaff on the sideline or Kobe Altman in the front office, that's what I really want to see over the next 50 or so games. Can those guys play together? How well can they play together? And is this the backcourt of the future or not? I think there's a lot of talent there, but there are also some questions about the fit because both guys, in my opinion, are wired to shoot and score first, and they are a little bit undersized when you play them together in the backcourt.
Ryan, how difficult of a task is that for J.B. Bickerstaff? I mean, when we first saw him last year when he took over, we're like, wow, this is going to be great. But Drummond had just come into the situation. I think people were excited about it. I was still excited, you know, through the beginning of the season. Fun team to watch, very exciting. But, you know, you hit a 10-game losing streak, and sometimes people want to complain and they want to do this or that. How difficult is this task for J.B. Bickerstaff to not only keep this together, but just to find a foundation for the future where they can win?
It's very difficult, and I've been through it, again, with the Celtics and the Suns in particular. When you're rebuilding, when you're playing a bunch of college-age players, even if there's some good individual development things happening, and clearly that has happened with Colin Sexton and his progression, it's hard to keep everybody positive. It's hard to keep everybody rowing the boat in the same direction, so to speak. And you have to find goals that maybe don't involve winning and losing, just individual or team goals where you see improvement and progression and something you can build upon in the future. So J.B. Bickerstaff is in a very tough spot, guys. As I look at their core, their young core, Isaac Okoro's 20, Jared Allen and Colin Sexton are 22, Darius Garland's 21. So when you look at that, basically four of their main players, in fact, their top four young players are all college-age players. Those guys are younger than some guys who are currently playing college basketball. It's very difficult to win in the NBA when you have that many young players playing and you're counting on them. So again, I think the goal for Bickerstaff and the front office should be to develop those guys and set some foundations. Maybe you come up with something in terms of offensive or defensive systems that even if it doesn't lead to winning right now, you can build upon that and help those players improve individually as you try to establish a foundation for the future.
Ryan, how difficult is that to do, to balance patience and development with making moves to improve your team now?
It's very difficult, especially with a franchise like Cleveland. You guys know the Cavs' recent history better than anyone. Just the volatility, the great run they had with LeBron James the first time, and then the plummet when he left, and then back to championship contention, and they obviously won the championship 2016, and then now, you know, the plummet again when he's gone. So it's been a volatile couple decades to be a Cavaliers fan, and I think that's hard. It's hard when you're struggling and rebuilding just in general, and the franchise hasn't won in a while. It's very hard when in the recent past, in the last 5 or 6 years, the team has been competing for championships and won a championship, and now they're a long way from that. So, again, trying to keep everybody positive, trying to keep the young players developing good habits and not getting discouraged. And also, guys, frankly, trying to eliminate distractions. The Andre Drummond situation has been a bit of a distraction. That happens with veterans on young teams who realize they're not part of the future. They're not going to be there long term. So I think that's a lot for any coach to manage. J.B. Bickerstaff has his work cut out for him. However, I think after the trade deadline next month on March 25th, Drummond will likely be out of the franchise one way or another. And then if the Cavaliers, again, set their direction, make it clear they're building with young guys, developing young players, and that the veteran players aren't going to play going forward, I think it makes a coach's job easier to some extent because everybody in that locker room knows what the plan is, and hopefully everybody's on the same page.
Ryan, thank you so much. We always appreciate talking to you. Great insight, and we love talking to you. We'd love to have you back on again. Thanks, Ryan.
Anytime, guys. Thanks for having me.
Ryan McDonough, nice enough to join us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, and that was Radio.com NBA Insider Ryan McDonough. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. BetQL is here to help us all make better bets through real proven analytics. Bet smarter and beat the books. Yes, download BetQL, the app, or visit BetQL.com today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you.
I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.